Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Wicked people may seem invincible, but they are ultimately their own worst enemies. From American author Cassandra Clare. Welcome to Grimly.
I might unbutton my pants. The burrito hit.
Yeah.
The lore.
I'm not wearing...
You're wearing stretchy pants. We really got to coordinate our outfits for these.
I would definitely be unbuttoning if I was wearing jeans.
Right, but like last time I came here, you were wearing fucking jeans, and it's like, so now I have to show up in jeans.
Are you serious?
Yeah. It was on a Sunday, too. I judged you a little bit.
The one day of the week that I wear pants. I'm like, yes, sun's coming over. No longer wearing these same shorts every day. And then that's why you wore that outfit?
And this is why I wore pants today. I wore jeans for you, and you wore
you overthought it. You did.
We keep doing this. We just show up in onesies just every fucking time.
Oh, like the pawn outfit. We should buy like basketball shorts, just pawn jerseys.
Just podcast jerseys. That's actually pretty brilliant.
Grimly. No, I was thinking full. I was thinking more like Magic Johnson. Like, real
long. Oh, like, too long for us? Like, we're, like, toddlers?
Yes, like, the most comfortable thing you've ever worn.
I think that's just a moo-moo, dude.
Like, my father is short.
We could just wear moo-moos if that's the case. I have to be down.
I have one long half stress.
You do? Yes, I've seen you.
Oh, no. It's really bad.
It was when I stayed over after we did the Chris Benoit episode.
I put the house dress on.
I think so. I think that was the house dress.
You woke up. A lot of them.
We were both very hungover.
Was it striped?
Yes.
That's a bad one.
Honestly, I was jealous of how comfy you looked. So,
oh,
no judgment.
Oh, man.
Anyway, so this is Grimly. We are recording. I hope you're wearing the most comfortable outfit while you're listening to this episode.
Welcome to Grimly.
Are you in your podcast moo-moo? Because you should be. Today, we're going back to the Appalachia Trail.
Back to the Appalachia Trail.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So, first episode was 12 Tribes.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. So, this is a different Appalachia episode. This is the Randall Lee Smith story. Have
okay.
we heard this one?
No.
Okay. Trigger warning. This is a murder case.
Okay.
So just everyone be aware of that and the things that come along with that. There will be some violence against women and men in this podcast episode. So just be aware. So I figured since we're going back to the Appalachia Trail, I see Appalachia. Some people say Appalachian.
Yeah. I was going to ask you about that. There's no N there. I think both are right.
Yes.
That's what I've heard.
I think it's a tomato-tomato situation. I've heard that people from that area call it Appalachia.
Sure.
So that feels more authentic.
Mm-hmm.
And I've heard it being said, like, you're supposed to say, I'm throwing an Appalachia. Appalachia.
An Appalachia.
But there is an N in it. So an Appalachian is another way to say it. But now I've said it too much as Appalachia, I can't unsay it.
Mm-hmm.
But, so, some facts about the Appalachia Trail. The trail is approximately 2,200 miles. It's a footpath that extends from Georgia to Maine, which is...
It's cool.
It's cool.
Yeah.
It is run and operated by federal, state, and volunteer conservancies and was conceptualized back in 1921. So it's almost 100 years old.
Right.
From the conception. The entire path, the footpath, was completed in 1937.
Okay, wow. It really feels like I need to put some respect to my old house's name.
Like, wow. Yeah, cool. Your house is older than...
My house is older than that trail.
Yeah, yeah.
Be kind.
Be kind. The trail is the longest and largest volunteer conservation project in the world.
Wow.
Which I did not know. Mm-mm. And is the longest footpath in the world.
Okay.
I think that means, like, consecutive.
In the world?
In the world.
That does surprise me.
Yeah.
But, listen, have you heard that guy on TikTok who's British... that lives in the U.S. God, I'm going to look him up now. I want to say his name is like Garrett or something. And he's like defending Americans on behalf of like the world.
I think he was talking about like how we don't like go to other countries because our country is so big.
So big. Yeah.
And every other spot feels like bigger. Yeah. I have seen that one.
Yes. Bless him. We're doing the Lord's work. We need all the help we can get.
We truly do. We were just talking about the primary. So yeah, I mean, that is very true, because if you live in Germany, it's like a 45-minute drive to a different country.
Yes, and that's most people's commute to work. Mine is more than that. That's on a great day for me.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So it is very weird to think about that, and like...
Yeah, I just don't think people know that.
Yeah, because we don't think of Americans as very quote-unquote worldly.
But... And we don't know any better. Like, we just think, well, we're like, oh, really? You can drive 6 hours and you're on the... whole other part of the country. That's like,
yeah, yeah. I mean, we could drive 6 hours
day
north.
Day trip sometimes.
Yeah, we could drive 6 hours north to be in Canada for Washington.
Yeah, but... one small part of Canada. Canada's just as big.
Yeah, but if you live in like Texas and drive 6 hours north, you're still in America.
Oh yeah,
you're in like one of the Dakotas.
You're still in the same state sometimes.
Yeah, truly. Yeah, Texas is a bad example. State. Yeah, I mean, even like Florida, like Miami, six hours. Like, yeah,
it's a port of California. Yeah, so
yeah. It's very true. Yeah, that's a really good point. So, if you were to walk the entire footpath, the elevation gain and loss of the entire walk would be the equivalent of summiting Mount Everest 16 times.
Really?
That one blew my mind.
That, well, because for the whole length of
it. For the whole length of it.
How long is it? It's the longest in the world.
It's 2,200 miles. 2,200.
Okay.
So from Georgia to Maine.
But people do that.
People do that every year. Actually, my next bullet is millions of hikers and backpackers, millions, now set foot in the Appalachia Trail every year.
How many complete it? Does anybody?
Oh, million. Yeah, people complete it. Millions complete it.
How many months does it take to complete it?
I think probably like 5 months.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was thinking minimum like 3 or 4.
Yeah. Through hikers. Or through backpackers, not even like hikers. Mm-hmm. Through backpackers are a different breed. So I am not a through backpacker, because the max I want to do backpacking in a day is like 12 miles.
Okay.
If you were a through backpacker, aka a backpacker that does like the Pacific Crest Trail, the Continental Divide Trail, or the Appalachia Trail, you're doing like 20 miles a day.
Okay. For 5 months?
For 5 months.
Oh, that is rough.
Yeah.
That sounds...
like I said,
like a nightmare to me. I don't even take a break. The break is just like not hiking.
The break is just sitting down eating lunch.
I don't like it at all.
Yeah, it's truly insane. I don't want to do that. Not every backpacker is built the same.
Yeah, yeah.
The longest I've gone in a day, miles wise, hiking was 18 miles, and that was fucking miserable. Mm. I never want to do that again. Like 10, 12 miles. That's where like I feel accomplished.
Yeah.
Where I feel like I've done an entire day's work,
mm-hmm.
you know, but mm-hmm. like I would never want to do more another than that.
8 miles?
Another 8 miles. Yeah. No, thank you.
That's a lot more.
That's a lot more. Yeah.
Oof, it's like,
it's insane.
I don't like it.
Yeah. It's impressive. Like I do
if
have
it's
a
flat. Fine. I don't know. The Appalachian Trail can't be as like wild as what we.
No, no. So yeah, the Appalachian Trail is definitely not quite as like elevation gain and loss as it is like the Pacific Crest Trail,
mm-hmm.
or even just like Washington in general,
mm-hmm.
I mean, or the Rockies is also another good example. Like, you know, they have,
it's like longer. I imagine just like longer
stretches. Yes, it's a longer, like more of a gradual wavelength, mm-hmm. when it comes to elevation gain and loss, whereas opposed to like Washington and Oregon and California, it's more direct.
Very aggressive.
Yeah, very aggressive elevation gain.
Okay, all right.
So millions of hikers and backpackers now set foot in the Appalachian Trail every year. The trail does, however, have some dark history attached to it. Yeah. So today, we are going to cover what has been dubbed the Appalachian Trail serial killer.
Oh, damn.
Which is known as Randall Lee Smith.
Oh, my God. You didn't...
Okay. All right. I didn't what?
I don't know. I just thought like one single murder, not serial killer.
No. Yeah. This is like, yeah, this is the first one that is like more significant. And this is the first one that has a lot of intel. More intel than like the other ones that you've covered.
Okay. I'm here.
I mean, Chris Benoit also had a shit ton of information on it because that was also a really big case.
Yeah.
But I'll get into later how I found out about this and the connection because I had no idea.
Okay.
So we'll get to that later. Born June 29th, 1953 in Parisburg, Virginia, Randall's parents divorced when he was just 6 months old. And his father was really never a part of his life. Like his father just kind of yeeted out of there.
Okay.
So his mother, Loretta, was known as a bit of a loner, an overall nice person.
This is in the 20s?
50s. I'm thinking of you posted.
It's like any kind of numbers. I'm like, ew, math, no.
Gross.
Don't want to
leave
do it.
The brain.
Don't do it. But it's important for context. Okay,
so 1953.
This is a modern day. Was born. Yeah, this is a modern day
thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
1953. One more time for you. So, his mother was known as a bit of a loner. She worked at the Giles Memorial Hospital and Laundromat until her death in the year 2000. So, she literally worked there for like 50 years.
Wow.
Yeah. Just one job, very kept to herself type of person. We don't really know much about her. We don't really know much about his father either. What? Sounds like they were both kind of pretty boring. I'm not going to lie. But boring is sometimes good, right? Randall and his mother lived in a small four-bedroom house. And weren't necessarily poor, but they also didn't live in this sort of extravagant style, which is kind of very Virginia in a lot of ways, unless you're like uber wealthy in Virginia. Right?
What part of Virginia?
Parisburg.
Do you know like what general area? Like how far from like
Nashville
or something? Area?
I don't know. We can look it up right now. Oh, it's pretty close to like West Virginia.
A few hours, size 3.5.
Yeah.
4 hours.
Yeah. So like DC is like over here, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
So a couple hours it's away.
Inland. Yeah.
It's like, yeah, kind of slap dab in the middle. It's very rural. It's very close to the Appalachian Trail specifically. So a lot of that is kind of part of it too. It's like, it's Appalachia. It's Appalachia culture. So keep that in mind. Multiple sources also stated that Loretta dressed Randall up as a little girl for the first few years of his life. Okay.
And it's not just because at the time they were wearing.
No one really knows why.
What is how? What does that even mean?
Like dresses is what it sounds like, and like what kind of what I got from it, like frilly skirts. Mm-hmm. It's the '50s, so there's a very definite man and woman styles, right? It's not like a Victorian era when boys wore like kind of dressy type things.
Sure,
you know.
Okay, you're right.
And there hasn't like because not a really. A lot of people knew Loretta, like, closely, so no one could really confirm why she did that.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe she just, like, had, like, an abundance of, like, little girl clothes, and, like, they didn't have a ton of money, so she just, like, dressed them like that, and, like...
Maybe, yeah.
She was young enough.
I feel like Loretta is being maligned here.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm not trying to say that. It's just, like, that...
Okay.
There's just, like, there wasn't, like, a lot of... connection to like why Randall was the way he was.
Yeah. And this like, was... it feels like we're grasping at straws.
Yeah, it definitely feels like a grasp at straws and no
and
one
blame the mother.
Blame the mother. Absolutely.
Okay, but maybe she dressed him up. So what? That doesn't make him a serial killer.
Yeah.
I mean he could have just been gone with the wind fabulous.
Right? Yeah. He could have just been very feminine.
Yeah.
And like had some more feminine, you know, tendencies. But in the '50s maybe that was a big deal. So Randall was known to be a quiet child that didn't seem to create any sort of connection with any other children, which is weird, and then would often wander the woods alone looking for things like arrowheads and other artifacts in the forests of Virginia.
That just sounds like a little redneck kid.
Truly.
It's harmless. So far, I have not had problems.
Yes. Yes. The loner thing and, like, not making connections with other children.
Maybe he didn't grow up with any, like, cousins or brothers.
No. It didn't sound like he had, like, a lot of extended family. But, like, I mean,
his fault.
You go to school as a kid.
Okay, fine. He's a bit of a loner.
Bit of a loner, yeah. And there's nothing wrong with being a loner. No. Absolutely. Until there's something wrong.
Oh, I'm sure he's going to do something.
Yeah, until there's something wrong with you being a loner. No. Yeah. It's not a problem until it is, I guess.
I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt for now.
That's very nice of you. In high school, Randall was known as a loner, like we just said. Like his mother, who's also kind of known as a loner.
Okay.
And throughout high school, he was also known as a habitual liar.
Oh, we don't like that.
Yeah, he lied so much that he was given the nickname LR, which stood for Lying Randall.
Dude.
Yeah.
Okay, not good, Randall.
Yeah, so Randall never participated in any sports, community events. He never had any sort of romantic partners. And he never really had any friends during high school. So he just genuinely just did not make connections with people.
I don't feel sad.
Like, it does feel very sad.
Because it's insecure.
It definitely sounds like a, like you're...
His dad wasn't there.
Yeah.
His mom probably worked.
Yeah. The line...
To take care of him.
Yeah. The line sounds like
Overcompensating.
Overcompensating mm-hmm. type of situation for what his life was like. So... Randall dropped out of high school in the 11th grade and began working in the shipyards in the city of Newport News, which I know that I had to look that up. That's a real city.
That's a real city.
It's like a real magazine. City.
Do you know that I sometimes deal with the Newport News because there's a naval base out there? And so I send people out there for work pretty often.
Okay.
And that was the first time I learned about it. I was like, oh, that little catalog.
Right.
My mom used to buy swimsuits from.
Oh man, I didn't know there was a catalog that you could buy swimsuits from.
Really?
Isn't that like a
catalog, the Newport News catalog.
Isn't there like a Newport News in like airports?
Probably.
I think of something else.
I thought the magazine was the biggest claim to fame for Newport News.
I'm thinking, I don't know.
No, I think you're right. Yes. Also,
there's something like that.
It's
has like that type of name.
It's giving 90s.
Yes, it's giving a very 90s mm-hmm. vibe for mm-hmm. sure. Mm-hmm. So Randall worked in Newport News off and on as a welder while working in Newport News as a welder. He would also start telling his coworkers extravagant stories about his lifestyle.
He's still lying.
Oh, yeah. Okay. There's a point where you kind of feel bad, but then there's a point where you're like, okay, you gotta... cut the shit, you know. It's
learn
kind
a different
of,
way.
Learn a different way, or like just like I don't know, get some therapy, talk to somebody.
You know, this probably wasn't that easy back then.
Yes,
fairly easy now.
It reminds me of a lot of when people are assholes as an adult and they blame on their childhood.
Yeah, I try to whenever I can. Thank
you. But it gets to a point where you're like,
no, I don't know what you're doing.
Gotta take some responsibility for your own fucking actions.
Someday, not while I'm still a young lady.
Or blame me on your goddamn astrological sign.
Yeah.
Like, you're not fucking a Scorpio, you're just a bitch, okay? Like, just own it at that point. You're not a Scorpio. What are you? An Aquarius?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yes, we've talked about this.
Cue the weird lady dance.
I mean, mine's a Virgo, which is like a virgin is her fucking thing. So,
really?
Yeah.
I never heard that before about Virgos.
Oh, no. Not like we're all virgins.
Okay, what were you saying?
Like the lady is like always dubbed as the virgin.
Oh, what is Virgo? Just a lady?
Yeah.
Aquarius is just like some
water.
Just some waves.
Like the little wavy things. And then like Virgos are usually like the weird M thing.
That stands for lady?
Or like a naked lady.
Wow.
Like that's like always like the virgin.
I don't really know that much about science.
Astrology? Me either. You know, I haven't thought about doing that as an episode, honestly.
Astrology?
Uh-huh.
Just in general?
Uh-huh.
I'm here for it. Y'all are
let me know, people listening, if you want to hear about astrology as the general.
I'm curious subject. How that's going to be spooky, grimly, but it sounds like you might have a plan.
I feel like I can make it. Anyways, we'll get back to that. So throughout Randall's upbringing, we're going back to Randall because that's what we're fucking talking about today.
Trying not to.
We really can't help it. We're sorry. So throughout his upbringing, the kind of constant thing that Randall would always cling to was the outdoors, and specifically the Appalachian Trail.
Okay.
So that was kind of his church, his mecca, whatever you want to call it.
Okay.
Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we're going to go to May 1981. Susan Ramsey and Robert Mountford Jr., who were experienced hikers and worked as social workers in Maine, had decided to hike the Appalachian Trail to raise funds for charity that would help kids who are mentally ill.
Christ.
Truly like the best of the best.
Oh my God. Okay.
They were both 27 years old. So Susan was only hiking the trail for 2 weeks with Robert to Parrisburg, Virginia, which is the city we just talked about. And then she was planning on heading home to Maine to celebrate her birthday with her parents. Whereas Robert was going to continue to hike the entirety of the trail. So.
Ambitious.
Ambitious. It's very ambitious. I give all these people all the props. And most of them aren't even doing it for fucking charity.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the pair were known to be well seasoned hikers and could handle themselves in the wilderness. I mean, I feel like being from Maine is probably, you know,
sure.
Like you're like kind of born with that in your blood a little bit.
I want to go to Maine so bad.
It's Me too.
It's my number one U.S.
Me too.
Location.
Why are we doing that?
I don't know. We should go.
We should.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyways. So Robert was also known as an accomplished rock climber, and he was also a former high school wrestler. So they're both like very well-versed outdoorsy people. And I do have pictures of them. This is them right here.
Oh, they look like full-ass adults.
They do. It's very weird because they're 27.
No fucking way.
Yeah.
That's not a 27-year-old. Missy, that man is 44.
He's not.
I hear this thing about millennials online.
That we're aging better. Like wine.
That is a... No, that's a cop, first of all. And that man is in his... No, 27?
He's 27.
And she also looks... I mean, I could believe that she's 27. 34.
Yeah.
34.
Yeah. I mean, we're a general... So, this is my theory about the aging thing when it comes to millennials. We were after smoking because we had the truth campaigns, right? They were always like, don't smoke, it's going to ruin your life, blah, blah, blah. And we were also the generation that was like, wear sunscreen.
Sure.
That was like the new thing.
That's
like,
true.
And now
we're not doing as much microwaving for our foods.
Gen Z vapes.
Okay.
And vaping fucking like any sort of like, I don't care if it's like a cotton candy, cloud of lies. It's still gonna age you.
Yeah.
That is my
that I'm theory. Sorry though. That's a grizzled, that's not 27.
He's 27.
I can't, my mind won't make sense of it.
he truly looks like it looks like someone's, uncle. Like, dad or someone from, yes. Like, yeah. Like, you show, like, a picture, like, that was my dad. They're like, oh, yeah, I could see you.
You have to post a picture of
that. Oh, I definitely will. Yeah. I mean, they deserve it. Anyways. Okay.
Sweet angels, though.
Yes, they are.
He does look like he could fuck you up, though.
He does look like someone who could fucking handle his shit,
yeah,
in the wilderness.
Yeah, he does. I would feel very safe
I would trust
him.
That man. I get
they
that.
They honestly both looked.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, oh, you little, sweet little darling.
No.
No, they look like they could handle themselves.
Both exactly. Way. Exactly. So, Susan and Robert were hiking in an area called Dismal Creek in Virginia, where they had befriended another female hiker, because that's just kind of what you do on the trail. Like,
yeah.
You talk to people. It's like people out there are kind of your security blanket.
Yeah, numbers.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, totally.
You hurt yourself.
Yeah. Totally. Also, I mean, there's also something they say, like, you should always say hi to other hikers just in case something happens to one of you, because it's like a point where like they know that like this person was seen here, you know, type of thing. So after they befriended this female hiker, I can figure she didn't have a name posted anywhere. The trio decided that they were going to meet up later that day in Parrisburg. Like they were going to continue hiking, but they were hiking at different paces type of thing. And they were going to grab some food and enjoy their evening together before Susan went home to Maine. Because that was her, That was her last.
That was the same day?
It was the same day.
No.
Yeah. So, however, when this female hiker got to Parrisburg and Susan and Robert were not anywhere to be found, she instantly was worried and reported them missing, which to me is very important.
Yeah, so she took one look at them like we just did, and I'm like, they would have made it.
Yes.
Like something happened.
Yeah, absolutely. The deputy sheriff at the time, whose name is Tom Lawson, began investigating the disappearance immediately, and he, along with a few other officers, began retracing Susan and Robert's steps and started asking hikers and backpackers if they had seen the couple. One hiker said that he recalled seeing Robert and Susan when they were talking to what he described as a strange-looking man. He then stated that he recalled seeing them near the Wapatiti shelter on the trail. So the shelters on the trail are just like these tiny little log structures. They like have like some kind of flat platform to sleep on if you wanted to.
Okay.
Otherwise, you could sleep in your tent around the area. So that's what the shelters are on the Appalachian Trail. And on, I think on the PCT, there's some too. There was also a few other hikers that talked about a man acting strange, talking to Susan and Robert near this shelter specifically. Mm-hmm. Deputy Tom Lawson also stopped by a local store near the trail called Trent's, where it was confirmed that Susan and Robert had been there on May 19th, which was the last confirmed sighting of the two. During this time at the store, when Tom Lawson was there, like kind of questioning the employees and stuff, a few of the patrons said that there was a man boasting about how he knew what happened to the missing hikers. And they called him Lying Randall.
No, his, what?
Yeah.
Oh, because he's from town. That's where he's from.
Uh-huh.
Oh, so yeah. They knew exactly who he was.
Yeah, so initially, Tom Lawson, the deputy sheriff, kind of wrote this off as just some local nut job running his mouth.
Right.
Because he's literally called Lying Randall.
Oh, shit.
You know?
So, like, his, it's like his cover almost. Mm-hmm. This. No, it's like.
Yeah. So, the search continued for multiple days. Because at this point, it was just a search and rescue. There was no idea that, like, some negative thing had happened besides that. They just, like, they were lost hikers, right? The search continued until May 30th when Lawson and the other sheriff deputies reached the Wapiti shelter. Mm-hmm. And initially, there was nothing substantial found at the shelter until Lawson, like, looked down in the shelter and looked a bit closer at the floorboards of the shelter and noticed that there were some dark stains in the cracks.
Oh, no.
And he inserted his knife that he had on him into the crack, and he pulled out what looked like blood on the blade.
Oh, Jesus.
Then immediately, the officers began fanning out around the shelter, looking for anything out of the ordinary in the brush and like kind of like kicking up rocks and stuff, just trying to figure out if there's anything else around here. And that's when they came to a pile of leaves that looked like it had been built up like in a pile deliberately by a person. Mm-hmm. So they pushed the leaves aside and dug up the earth, found a woman's sleeping bag containing the body of Susan Ramsey.
Okay.
She'd been stabbed over a dozen times. And this isn't in this bullet, but I'm going to say it right now, and it's not great. It looks like during the autopsy, they found out that she was stabbed with a nail.
A nail?
Yeah. Like
also, or that was what, that was the weapon?
That was the weapon.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
She then had a plastic bag placed over her head and also had extensive defensive wounds. And she had fought hard and fought back.
Yeah, against a man with a nail.
And guess the man.
It could take a while.
Yeah, yeah. And
you defend yourself for a while.
Yeah, and like I said before, she was just 27 years old.
Jesus.
Yeah. So the next day, the sheriff's department came out with more people because they're like, fuck, this has become a thing. Not just like a search and rescue. This has become a murder investigation.
Yeah, and got one missing.
Mm-hmm. They came out with more people to help search for another body or a person. You know, they weren't sure. They also brought a cadaver dog.
Well, you might assume that the man that she's hiking with is the one that did this too at the time.
Yeah, there was a little bit of that, but it's also, I think,
The strange man
that everyone kept talking about they saw.
Yeah.
Because this, like, shelter was kind of like a stopping point, like you said earlier, like, when you take a break at a shelter like this, you know. When they brought out the cadaver dog, the dog picked up a scent immediately and indicated by a tree, which is, like, they basically, like, sit or lie down, right? That they had found something. So the police dug up the area to find another sleeping bag containing Robert Alford's body. And he had a single gunshot wound to the head by a .22 caliber gun. And he was also just 27 years old.
Oh, Jesus. Well, it makes sense, though. Like, a weapon, like a gun being able to pass tape.
Yeah.
Two people.
It would take, two, able-bodied,
he couldn't have done that.
Stronger people, for sure. Yeah, because Robert was, a wrestler.
Yeah. Strange that Susan wasn't shot also.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a second. So what had just become a missing hikers situation was now a full-on murder investigation. Police closed down the 13-mile section of the Appalachian Trail and began putting together a profile of who they thought killed the pair. The initial theory is obviously about the strange man that was talking to them. And they thought part of this initial theory is whoever this perp was, they had to have some sort of knowledge of the area, and they were probably from the area, and they also had to have easy access and seemed to have a knowledge of the woods surrounding the trail specifically, which is a pretty solid assumption, right? So they also thought the person who did this had some insight to remove the sign-in logs at trail checkpoints along the trail. So they couldn't put a timeline together of where Susan and Robert had been.
So those were missing?
Those were missing, yeah. Mm. And so it's going to be make it harder to put together a timeline. And so a person in the area would have a better knowledge of that, of where those logs were, right? Mm-hmm. It's very nefarious. So they also found that some of Robert and Susan's gear had been cached at specific compass points along the trail. And then it was as if someone was planning on coming back for the gear, which is very weird. And that will come into play later, too.
Okay.
The police did, however, have those few reports of Susan and Robert talking to the strange man, like we talked about. And he was described to be someone between the age of 25 and 30. He had a beard and dark hair. He was wearing a green army fatigue shirt. And he was also carrying a hunting knife on his belt. Which is interesting if he was carrying a knife but still attacks Susan with a nail.
Yes.
And his description of the strange man and the trail, along with the story of what happened to Susan and Randall, was added to the Washington Post in early June to hopefully drum up some clues of who this guy was.
Mm-hmm.
And a major clue was discovered while looking over the gear of Susan and Robert. A paperback book that Susan had on her, she's kind of reading along the trail, was found containing a single bloody fingerprint.
Hmm.
The fingerprint did not belong to Susan or Robert.
No way.
Yeah. But it did, however, belong to one lying Randall Lee Smith.
They had him then.
Yeah. They had matched the fingerprint because if you work in the shipyard, you have to have your fingerprints on file.
So, okay, I'm
the coincidence there is insane to me.
I'm just so glad they found it. They must have looked through that book. Or was it on the outside of the book?
No, it was in the page. It was on a page.
He was thumbing through.
He was fucking around with their gear. He was taking their gear and caching them in other parts of the forest.
Wow.
So he probably looked the book to see if there's probably money or whatever in there, and there wasn't anything, but he left his fingerprint.
Jesus.
Yeah, it's one of those weird, shitty serendipitous moments. You know,
you are human. You can't not be you and be fallible and
fingerprints are the original DNA, right?
No, you make mistakes.
How humans,
smart you think you are.
Yeah, absolutely.
You can't hide from yourself.
Yeah. So police went to the home that Randall was still sharing with his mother, because he was still living with his mother at the time, where they found no one to be home. Okay. However, since they had a warrant to search the premises, they entered the premises.
They can do that?
I guess if you have a warrant.
I guess so.
A warrant for the murder?
I guess so.
If it was my...
Yeah, I guess so. If you got a warrant, we're coming in anyway.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So they entered the premises and found in the basement some of Susan and Robert's gear.
Whoa, okay.
Along with blood-soaked jeans.
Thank God.
So
they found him. They fucking have him.
Yeah, yeah. They also found, and this is insane to me, they also found a note claiming that it was Randall writing the note and that he had been kidnapped by two men and they were going to kill him.
Hmm.
But they let you write a note. Just, I don't know. Anyways.
So after the search of his home, the sheriff's department began hiking and doing an extensive search of Randall on the Appalachian Trail. So they're thinking, this is probably like second nature to him, just be on the trail. Let's like just hike this area to try to find him. That's kind of what the idea was, right? But trying to find someone who knew the trail in the surrounding forest was like trying to find a needle in a haystack. You know, he grew up doing this. He like grew up exploring these forests. Like, you know, he knew how to hide in the forest. However, this is really weird. There was a break in the case when a weathered Randall was found and arrested in Myrtle Beach at the end of June.
Okay.
Weirdly enough, Sheriff Lawson, the lead sheriff that was investigating the crime, was also in Myrtle Beach to try to take like a break from the case because he had been hiking extensively and was just like, I need to like kind of.
Yeah, because I'm trying to do police work and.
Yeah, he's like, I'm trying to like, he's like, I need to walk away for a little bit and hook like his family to Myrtle Beach on vacation.
Right.
But at the same time that he was in Myrtle Beach, Randall was in Myrtle Beach and was arrested.
Whoa.
And it wasn't like he was following him. It wasn't some weird obsession with this sheriff. It was just a weird coincidence. Lawson got the call that Randall was arrested and was in Myrtle Beach. And so he was like, okay, well, I gotta go talk to him now.
Yeah, this is my job.
This is my job. So when he approached and talked to Randall, Randall claimed that he had amnesia and couldn't remember his or his mother's own name.
Okay.
Which is kind of just going along with the whole lying thing.
Just like, sure. This is not going to work for very long.
Truly. Like, truly.
Okay.
So Lawson decided to work around this amnesia story. He was like not going to try to confront him directly, be like, you're fucking lying to me.
Sure.
Obviously.
Okay.
However, since Randall had been like kind of in the woods and on the trail for, you know, weeks at this time, he was covered in really intense bug bites.
Okay.
That he had been like scratching at pretty hard.
Oh.
Which, and some of them looked like they were gonna get infected.
Okay. Ew.
So Lawson told him that he wanted to make sure, he's like, oh, he's like, I want to make sure your insect bites are gonna get treated, but we need you to sign this medical release form. And without like a fucking second thought on the name line of the medical release form, Randall put his name, Randall Lee Smith.
Okay.
So he lied, but he's not a very good liar.
Oh, he's like, I don't know who I am.
I don't know who I am, but like, let me make sure I fill out this medical form so you guys can take care of me.
I like that.
For this fucking name.
I like that. Clever.
Just so stupid. Like, I don't want to say be a smarter criminal because obviously I don't want that to happen, but like, do better, you know? Like, you fucking moron. Okay. So, after this, they were like, okay, we know who you are. You know who you are. Stop trying to, like, play with us at this moment, you know? So, after this medical release form was signed, Randall was like, okay, yeah, it's me. Randall was then extradited back to Parisburg, where he was going to be set to trial, resulting in the death penalty.
Okay.
However, weirdly, the prosecutor of the case didn't think there was a strong enough case
for both
to get the death penalty in general. Like, okay. He didn't think they had a strong enough case. And he didn't think there was a strong enough case because there was no clear motive as to why Randall killed these two people.
Yeah. Okay.
And there still isn't. I'll put that out there right now. I know. One of the motives that I kind of think I might agree with is that since Susan and Robert kind of worked in social work and like kind of worked with people who had some mental health stuff going on, that maybe they befriended Randall and Randall kind of became obsessed with Susan.
Mm.
And it kind of seemed like Susan and Robert were a couple.
Yeah.
And Randall basically lashed out. Okay. And that's why Susan's death seems so much more violent than sure. Robert's.
Mm-hmm.
That's just a theory. We don't really know. I think that's probably a pretty strong theory, though, however.
Okay.
For this case. So, with this prosecutor believing that they didn't have a strong enough case, they were hoping to get a confession and a plea deal with Randall. And Robert Sr., Robert Mountford's father, was also a very devout Episcopalian minister and didn't believe in the death penalty.
Okay.
So the Mountfords and the Ramseys, Susan Roberts' father or family, decided that they wanted to go ahead with the plea deal and basically just get Randall to confess to the crime.
Wow.
Without a trial.
Wow.
And like not a deal with the trial.
Oh, awesome.
So instead of going to trial, the 27-year-old Randall, which is interesting because they're all 27, the victims and the killer. Wow. Randall Lee Smith pleaded guilty to second-degree murder and was sentenced to 30 years in prison. 15 years for killing of Robert and 15 years for the killing of Susan. Oh. So ideally, this is where the story concludes.
Okay.
However,
what do you mean?
The horrors are not done. So, this is going to be our first part two.
Oh, cliffhanger.
This is a cliffhanger.
Okay.
So, next week, I'm going to continue the story of Randall Lee Smith, and we will talk about the shit that happens after.
After?
In jail.
Okay.
So, yeah. That's what we got so far, guys.
All right, well.
Keeping you on your toes.
I'm here.
We're not doing a repeat of Chris Benoit, where this is going to be a 2-hour episode.
Yeah.
Like, it was too long.
Too long.
It was too long. We're already at 45 minutes, so.
Okay.
Like, yeah, we're going to
pause.
We're going to pause.
All right.
We're going to put a little pin in this.
Never done this to you before.
I've never done this to you before, no. But yeah, this is not where the story ends. Don't fucking Google it. Otherwise, you're gonna ruin it for me. Okay. Next week we will finish the story. Right. And it is, I'll tell you right now, it is a bizarre and weird story that I knew about the future story that I'm gonna tell. I had no idea they were connected.
There does seem like a lot of unheard information about Randall.
Like what?
Just
in general?
Yeah.
I mean, there's not a lot of his backstory. There isn't a lot there. He didn't really have any sort of, like, traumatizing, weird things that happened to him. He was just weird, quiet loner, and that was it. That's all anyone got from him. No one really knew him.
No one really knew. Are we ever going to find out why he did anything that he did? At least terrible things?
I guess we're going to have to find out.
I'm here for it.
But yeah, we will talk to you next week, and we will finish this story. But until next time.
Bye, bitch.
No! Okay. I was teeing this stupid shit up for you. All right, we'll try this again. Are you fucking ready?
Yeah.
All right. Until next time.
Stay grimly curious.
Thank you so much for listening. For podcast updates and episode photos, be sure to follow us on Instagram at Grimly Podcast.
Also, be sure to rate and review our episodes, and we will see you next week for another episode.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.